Okay, good morning. We're learning today, Perek Zayin, seventh chapter of the Vurei Hashem. If you recall, last week we were learning about we got into the discussion of the Bris Bein Habsarim, because the Maral started with a question in the beginning of Perek Vav. So why was there a Golos? Why was there a Golos, given that the Golos was destined, you know, many, many years earlier in the time of Avram Avinu? We can't just simply say they sinned and therefore they went into Golos, because it was something which was anticipated so far in advance. So why was there a Golos? And he said, in order to be able to understand this, let's learn the Parsha in which Avram Avinu was told about the Golos, which is the Parsha of the Bris Bein Habsarim. So last week in Perek Vav, what we dwelled on was the first section of that, where Hashem came to Avram and he said, Al tira Avram anaychi magin lach scharchar habe ma'ed. He said, Avram, don't be afraid, I am your shield, your reward is very great. So he was reassuring him and telling him, don't worry, I'm going to be there for you, I'm going to take care of you. And last week we spoke about that passage, the different things that Avram Avinu might have been afraid of at that point in time, and the Mogen Lach, the idea that Hashem pledged him that he would be his shield, that his reward for Olam Haba wouldn't be used up, that, you know, Keren Kayemis Olam Haba, the principle is still there for Olam Haba, but he would benefit in this world. Talk about different aspects there in that parak. Now in this parak, Parak Zion, he's continuing in that story. So Avram Avinu's response, after Hashem said to him, don't be afraid, Avram, I am your shield, your reward is very great. So Avram turned to Hashem and he said, Matitein li, what can you give me? Vanichi Relech Hariri, I am alone. Well then Meshek Beis Yehuda Mesek Eliezer, the person in charge of my house is Eliezer of Damesek. So he says, I don't have children, and therefore I'm not satisfied with this promise of great reward. That's what Hashem said to Avram. So the Maral's... That's what Avram said to Hashem. Excuse me. So the Maral's question, which he asks, classic question, is how could Avram Avinu be turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, what are you going to give me since I don't have children, when Hashem had already promised Avram, way back in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Veschal Gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation. He had already promised him children. So what's the issue here? It's an interesting thing, because in the Torah, the promise of Eschel Gagadol comes well before these psukim. According to the Seder Olam that Rashi quotes, the Bris Bein Habsarim actually took place 5 years before the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, because they prove it from the fact that it says that the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim for 430 years. So what does that mean? We know that they weren't in Mitzrayim for 400 years, but 400 years was from the time that Yitzchak was born, when Hashem said, Ger yiyah zaracha, your children will be strangers. So what does it mean, 430 years? So Chazal say, right, in the Seder Olam, Rashi quotes it, that it was 430 years from the Bris Bein Habsarim, from when Hashem had originally spoken to Avram about this Golos. So it was a 430-year process till the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, which means that Avram Avinu was 70 years old at the time of the Bris Bein Habsarim. In the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu was 75 years old. Right? So that means that this promise of would have been before Avram Avinu had ever been promised children, and this would be the first promise of children. However, not simple. You see that even if you're going to understand that chronology regarding the Bris Bein Habsarim, but there are elements of this exchange which are certainly supposed to be taken according to the chronological context. Everything we learned last week, when Hashem said to Avram, don't be afraid, Avram was afraid because of the repercussions of the battle against the four kings, which clearly took place after Lech Lecha. So, you know, it is and it isn't. You know, in a certain sense, it's to be interpreted as following on the previous stories. So the question is, again, if in the beginning of Lech Lecha Hashem said to Avram that he would make him into a great nation, so why is Avram doubting him now? Why is Avram Avinu speaking to him as if he doesn't have this in his pocket? And he says, thanks for the promise of reward, but it doesn't mean anything to me because of the fact that you didn't give me yet children. So this is the classic question which the Maharal asks, and he gives the classic answer. And the classic answer is that tzaddikim are worried, shema yigram achet. Maybe they may have done something wrong, or maybe they would do something wrong, that would make them no longer worthy of whatever it was that they were promised. And the Maharal says, v'zeh derech ha-tzadikim, this is the way of the righteous, who are not overconfident and are always aware of their own shortcomings and how they could get in the way. So he says, because, like for instance, we find by Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, when he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and he's worried for his life, and he says, katainti mikol ha-chasadim mikol ha-emes, Asher asisa es avdecha, I am small from all the kindness and the truth that you have done with me. Whether that means I'm not worthy, or I've been made somehow less worthy because of the fact that you've given me all of these things. But Yaakov Avinu was worried, despite the fact that when, in the beginning of Ayetza, Yaakov left, Hashem promised him that he would guard him along the way, and he would bring him back, and everything else. But Yaakov Avinu was still worried. So Chazal say he was worried Shema Yigram Hachet. Another thing where we find that actually Garam Hachet in the Shiras Hayam we say Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Ad Yavor Amzukanisa. And when the Jewish people cross over the Yamsuf, so they are already anticipating coming into Eretz Yisrael, of course, and they say how all the nations tremble and shake, all the nations that were in the path, in their path on the way to Eretz Yisrael, until your nation passes Hashem, until it passes this nation that is yours. So it refers twice, until it passes. So which Chazal say? The first one is Biorishayna, referring to the first time the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael. And then Ad Yavram Zukanisa is Biashnia, is the second time the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael, the second coming. Mikan Amru, sorry about that. Ruyin ha Yisrael yasem len leitz bimei Ezra kiderach shenaslan bimei Yeshua ela shegara machet. The Jewish people, it should have been ad yavar, the same way they came the first time, with the same style, they should have come the second time. It should have been kimei tzeischem mimitzrayim, as the pasuk promises elsewhere, right? The same miracles that I showed you when I took you out of Mitzrayim, it would have been also when we came back after Golus Bavel, after Parasumadai, for the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. Ad Yavar. Elishagara Machet. But why was it less? Because of the sins of the Jewish people. Right, this is one of the perspectives which we find in the Gemara, that the Jewish people, when they came back in the time of Bayesheni, they weren't so fantastic, they weren't so great. Right? Most obviously because only a tiny fraction of the Jewish people came back in the time of the Bayesheni, and the Gemara discusses these things there, that, you know, maybe the Bayesheni would have been something bigger, something greater, something more complete, had the Jewish people been more worthy and had they embraced it. So says the Maharal, so what do you see from that Chazal? You see that even though it was anticipated at Kriyas Yamsuf that the second time would be as rich and as strong as the first, but it didn't end up that way. Why not? Because we weren't worthy. So you see that worthiness can change outcomes.
We were worthy in Mitzrayim?
Well,
Mem Tesharetum?
No. We weren't tremendously worthy in Mitzrayim either. In certain ways, we were worthy in other ways. There were things that were not good about the Bnei Yisrael and things for which the Bnei Yisrael are dramatically praised. But however you're going to understand it, right? Classically it's understood that Yitzias Mitzrayim was what we call Isarusa de la'eva, that Hashem gave it to us from above, whatever our worthiness or lack of say. But the bottom line is, he gave us a big geula, and he said, the second time I'm also going to give you a big geula, and he didn't. Why didn't he? Why didn't it happen? So there, Chet made a difference. For whatever reason, there Chet made a difference. But you see that even though it was anticipated to be good, to be great. It ended up only being good. It didn't end up being with the same greatness. So you see that there is such a thing. So again, in one Gemara speaks about that the Chet was that they didn't go. Rahmana Sanina Lach, whatever the language of the Gemara is, that they stayed behind. But whatever it was, they weren't. The Gemara says Shegar Machet. So Avram was worried that even though Hashem had promised him that he'd make him into a great, great nation, but he hadn't delivered. And maybe he hadn't delivered because he wasn't so happy with Avram. Maybe there was Gerama Sachet. And that's why he said, you're promising me reward now, but I want the biggie. That's the way the classic approach to this question, the reason why Avram Avinu was afraid. So now, however, the Maral says, but hold on, there's a kasha on this. And he asks a kasha. Classic kasha, which was made, I think, to some degree a classic kasha by the Rambam, who asked this kasha in his introduction to the commentary on the Mishnah, where he gives an introduction to the Torah and the Torah Shebaal Peh, and he speaks about Nevuah, about prophecy, and he says that the Gemara in Maseches Brachos says that Kol Dibur Shiyotza Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Toyva Afilu Al Tanai Einai Chayzer. Anything which Hashem says, any, so to speak, word, any statement which comes out, so to speak, of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Toyva, for good, it doesn't go back. No backseas. Right? So, the Afilu Al Tanai. So, if there's such a rule, if there's such a rule that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises something, that there's no going back on it, so then how is it, right? He had whatever promise the Gemara says. So if that's the case, then how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be chayzer from this? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say to Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to take care of you, and then he would backtrack? Or he would say to Avram Avinu, I'm going to make you into a great nation, and he would backtrack? What about this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promises don't go back? They were saying even on condition. Now maybe you'll tell me, says the Maral, that's talking about where he doesn't sin. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it to Moshe Rabbeinu with other things going on. And then even though some of the things which were the grounds, the basis for him doing it, didn't happen because he wasn't going to destroy the Jewish people, so therefore he didn't have to make Moshe Rabbeinu into a great nation. But he still said, I promise Moshe I'll make him into a great nation. I said to Moshe I'll make him into a great nation, I'll make him into a great nation. But that's because Moshe didn't do anything wrong subsequently to be undeserving of it. But, says the Maral, and this is by far the stronger source, he says it's not the case. Because in Yirmiyo, it says as follows. Listen, Shmana Anavi Asher Yidaber L'Sholem Yivoydav HaShem Yivod Asher Shlochay HaShem. A Navi who says something, L'Sholem, that will be good and peaceful and positive, so then that has to come true. If it doesn't come true, then you know that he's a false prophet. Why? Maybe he's a true prophet. And the reason why it didn't come true was because somehow the people didn't deserve it. Something happened to them. They changed, and therefore they didn't deserve for it to come true. So what do you see? You see that when a Navi, when Hashem says something, so then, again, no backseas. So why would Avraham Avinu have to worry?
And that's where Navi says to other people.
Okay, so that's the Rambam's answer. So the Maral says, and the Rambam, who asked this question in the introduction to the Pirush HaMishnah, answers the question by saying that this rule only applies to a Nevuah L'Toyva. And a Nevuah, the way the Rambam understands it, is not anything which you know from Hashem, but something which Hashem has given to the person as a message to share. Right? When Yirmiyo was told something, he said, go tell the people such and such. He came bearing messages. Remember that Rashi says in Chumash that the shoresh, that the root of the term nevuah is like niv, nivs fasayim is the fruit of the lips. It's what you speak, not what you hear, right? So the nevuah, the way the Rambam understands it, is the nevuah is a mission message, a message which he's to share. When Hashem sends him with a message, go tell this to the people, Hashem will never reverse it. However, what Yaakov Avinu heard from Hashem, the Rambam asked the question on Yaakov Avinu, right? Why was he afraid after Hashem had told him, I'll be with you, Shmarticha b'chol asher teilech? So he says, Yaakov Avinu was afraid, because Yaakov Avinu, when Hashem came to him, he hadn't said, Yaakov Avinu, go tell everyone, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to guard you no matter what happens. It was a private communication. And on private communications, there are no such rules. Right? On public communication, which to some degree is, nobody really knows. Well, how do I know? I only know what he told me. Right? So one of the rules for Kol Yisrael listening to a person and how a person's machzik himself is that when Hashem sends a message, if it's a good message, it's got to come true. But in private communication, where a person is speaking to Hashem and knows that they're speaking to Hashem, so there are no such rules apply. There's no policy. Whatever, it can change. That's what the Rambam suggests as the difference. Baruch Atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarei.
Amen.
The Maral doesn't like the answer of the Rambam. And Maral says that, we find in the Midrashim, we find in the Medrash in Parshas Vayishlach, where it says this idea that tzaddikim are never confident, that they're always worried maybe they won't live up to the standard which they had created before. So it brings from Binayo ben Yehoyada that he had to assert something which had been said, even though already earlier in the pasuk it said hinei ben nailad, that a child is going to be born to this house and he's going to be a person of menucha and so on and so forth. So, and he'll become the king and he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says that Bnei still said amen, right? Amen ken yomer Hashem. So why did he have to worry about it? So the Gemara says, because harbe mekatrigim mikan vad gichain, right? There could be many things that could stand in the way from here until gichain, until the time of his anointment. So he says, it seems over there, even though it was a nevuah that was conveyed to be shared, but still there could have been something that would upend it. So the Rambam says it's only when it's not something which is meant to be shared, we seem to have indications otherwise. And second of all, says the Maral, something which is far more substantial as a question. You heard what I said, why the Rambam would say that when it's public, then it can't be changed, but otherwise it can be. I said it's sort of like a matter of, you're speaking to people, and they don't know if what you're saying is true or not. So there have to be sort of like some kinds of rules that, that shore up your authority, that the verification process for a Navi, however you're going to understand. And one of them is that if you promise something good, it's going to have to come. But that's a very extraneous kind of a svara, very extraneous kind of a thing. Says the Maral, why shouldn't it be the case that if Hashem says, I'm going to give you something good, and then the person doesn't deserve it, has done something to change, why shouldn't it change? Says if Hashem says I'm going to bring something bad, so then, right, and the people turn out to turn themselves around, so then what's it going to be? So then it changes, right? Hashem said he was going to destroy Nineveh, and they did tshuva, and then Hashem didn't destroy Nineveh.
But aren't the communications always al tanai? No. If you don't change, I'm going to destroy you. So therefore,
it didn't say that to Nineveh. It said in 40 days Nineveh will be overturned. Right now, the Gemara discusses even there, overturned, Nineveh was overturned, right? It was revolutionized, it was completely changed, right? But the rule as such is that a nevuah l'ra, If it were something negative, it can always be changed by the person being deserving or non-deserving. So why, by Nevuah L'Taiva, shouldn't it be equally able to be changed, deserving or non-deserving? So the Maharal says that there's actually a different yisayid, a different principle which is at play here. That it's not the matter of whether the Nevuah is shared or not shared, because again, as he proved from the case of Ben Ayyob and Yada, even a Nevuah which is shared could be undermined if the person doesn't deserve it anymore. And the Maharal evidently is not just stuck on this thing that if Hashem said something good, he's not going to go back. If he says something bad, he doesn't like doing bad, so therefore he'll go back. You'll see, he's going to say something that has some relationship to that, but it's going to say much more. Much, much more. And what he says is as follows. There are two kinds of communication. There are communications which are haftachos, and there are communications which are nevuos. That's the term which he used. A haftacha is a promise, and a nevuah is a prophecy. A promise is the one which is more vulnerable, okay, than a prophecy. Says the Maharal, there are times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the person that, you know, this is something which should be coming for you down the line. But it's sort of an assurance. He's speaking to him because he's good, because he's fine, and he's telling him, you know, this is the way things should progress. But if the person changes themselves, if the person does something wrong, then of course that can change. Of course that at that point could be undone and not be there, not be in place anymore. However, when there's a nevuah is a straight and away prediction of this is what is going to be. And the nevuah stands alone, independent of the worthiness of the beneficiary of the nevuah. And therefore, the nevuah has to come true. In other words, there are things which are said where it's understood worthiness is a factor. And there are things which are said with a certain absolute quality, where therefore necessarily worthiness is not a factor. So the Maharal continues and he says, but that by definition is only L'Taiva. That by definition is only when it's a promise for the good. Because since Hashem is inherently good, and we have expressions which we find that there's no Ra which is Yared Milmala, there's no bad which originates from Hashem. If there's bad which comes, why does it come? Because something within the person themselves has made themselves not worthy of receiving the Taiv. We understand that Hashem initiates with Taiv. Think about it this way. There was nothing, and then Hashem created. Hashem created something. Why did he create something? Because he wanted to share Taiv. He wanted to give good. That's the kind of initiative which comes from Hashem. Yes, sometimes people experience bad. A lot of times, Rachmana Litzlan, people experience bad. But it wouldn't be that Hashem decided, you know what, I want to initiate bad. It's that Hashem wants to give good to the person, but if somehow the person puts up something that will stand in the way, so then Hashem is not going to give them the good. So therefore, by definition, Taiv, which originates from Hashem, can come in the form of a nevuah, can come in the form of a prophecy that says, this is what's going to be, no ifs, no ands, no buts. Because Taiv is driven by Hashem. And Hashem could say, you know what, I'm going to give you this Taiv. And even though many times, if a person is bad, so that will stand in the way, and Hashem will say, well, in that circumstance, I'm not going to follow through with the good. But Hashem could say, nah, even if he's bad, it doesn't make a difference. I'm giving him the good, and I'm going to follow through on the good. It's coming from me. I'm going to ignore what he's doing, and I'm going to go ahead with it. But Rabbi definition, that can't be. Because then that would mean that the Ribbono Shel Olam on his own and of his own is bringing Ra. That doesn't happen. Ra will only come when somehow the person has, the recipient, mitzvah ha-mekabel, that the recipient has set it up to be that way.
But even Ra is good. That's more complicated.
But even Ra is ultimately going to be for the Taiva of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes. Ra ultimately will end up being unified with the Taiva. But as an experience of Ra along the way.
Once they don't deserve it, it's not ultimately good anymore.
Also, right, you could say that too. So says the Maharal, it's a beautiful distinction. He says there are two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates. One is the normal communication of Haftacha, which is within the dynamic of Schar V'Einesh, which is within the dynamic of reward and punishment and worthiness and the direction which is set by man together with Hashem. And Hashem will speak there about good things and heaven forbid about bad, but they're all subject to change because it's all within the dynamic of the human being and Hashem Yisborach and the human being. But then there are things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forget it, it's nothing to do with you, I'm going to do this myself absolutely. Anything which you would say that there's nothing a person can do to mess it up is going to be something which Hashem says, it's from me to you, it has nothing to do with you. Right? It's all, the emphasis is all on me, from who it's coming. I'm deciding, nothing to do with you.
So that can be private,
that can only be Tav.
That can be a private communication in contrast to the Rambam?
According to the Maharal, we don't know of any distinction between private communications and public communications. Right? He didn't prove that it applies to private communications, but he proved that the distinction that what the Gemara says only apply, that L'taiva doesn't go back, or what he said that only applies to public isn't true, right? So that's the way, I mean, well, that was his proof that it's not, even public communications could go back. So that's not the distinction. So presumably private communications could also be governed by this rule as well. And it's not the issue of whether they're sharing it with somebody else. The issue is whether it's given as a nevuah, which is as something which Hashem says, done, finito, or whether it's something which Hashem speaks of as a haftacha, which is understood to have some fluidity to it, because it's again part of the dynamic of the give and take of the person. Now, how are you able to tell the difference between those two things is difficult. And how can you tell when Hashem is giving it as an absolute and when Hashem is giving it as a haftacha?
Avraham Avinu,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, and he understood that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to him, he was speaking to him as encouraging him to continue on the right path, and telling him that the fruits which would be there for his continuation on the right path. And when he didn't see it happening, instead of saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says and doesn't deliver, he said, maybe because I haven't lived up to my end of the deal. That's what it was. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had spoken to him that way, in the way of Haftacha, which is not the way of Nevuah. Again, it's a Nevuah, it's a prophecy, but Hashem wasn't speaking to him in the way that this absolutely has to happen, but he was speaking to him in the way that, you know, let's keep working together and this is what I'm going to make of you, but if you bail out, right, there was nothing more that Hashem had said. Yeah.
First of all, maybe we could switch what Avi is saying and say it as an answer to the original question, which was, that, I mean, it would be somewhat simplistic answer, but the reason that you can't ask from the Chazal is maybe Amir didn't know that rule. And that would answer the original question. Amir and Yaakov were both afraid because they didn't know that there was this cloud. I mean, one could say that it was only that cloud was only transmitted later to Moshe. I mean, also, especially according to Maharal, wouldn't it be Adiavar, which seemed to, it was part of Az Yashir, which seemed to be a Nevuah, especially the way the Maharal is formulating it, that it's not necessarily public communication, which maybe Az Yashir was not a public communication, but certainly it would seem to have been a Nevuah, so then that should have been unchangeable.
Right. So the Maharal addresses, so what about by Adiavar and Adiavar? So he says that Adiavar is not a haftacha, right? Now the simplest distinction between a haftacha and a nevuah is a nevuah says it's going to happen, and haftacha is, I'm telling you, this is what I'm promising you. Right? And when I'm telling you, this is what I'm promising you, rather than just making a statement, this is what's going to happen, so it's understood there's something somewhat contractual that's in there. Right? I'm promising this to you with some expectation on the other side. But a diavar is just saying, till they pass. It's more just of a, like a statement of fact. So, so the Maral addresses this, and on a couple of times, in a couple of ways, and he says like this. He says, "Gam ken yaftoch liyisrael shekein mashma kosev ki amcha Hashem asher heim amcha ad yavor." He says, "The people, your people, Hashem, that are your people, meaning that that play the role of being your people, so then they pass now." You'll always do for them miracles as long as they are there as your people. That's the way he understands it. It's not just a statement of this is what's going to happen. It's for your am, for the people as they are, as yours. And he adds and he says, his second factor, which he says, is that adyavar is not explicit. Right? A nevuah is where Hashem says this is what's going to happen. Here, simply, was speaking about the Jewish people. They were currently on a trip to Eretz Yisrael, which would end to their coming there. They'd pass by all the Knanim and the Plishtim and everybody else. So till they get there, the double expression is not referring to a second era in the simple pshat. It's a drash, and therefore, it's not bound by the rules of nevuah. That's a second thing. This is the second thing. Then it's down to a haftacha. But the Maral goes further, and he says something else, a very nice yesod that adds to this. And he says that many times you find that nevuas are said b'loshein avar. They're said in the past tense. Right? So, for example, when Yirmiyahu established this rule, when he spoke to Hananiah ben Azar, and he established this rule, and he said, when the Navi says something l'shalom, it'll be for real. So how do you know? Maybe it was just Haftacha, maybe it wasn't a Nevuah. Nevi'im can convey both. So he says, because there he spoke in Lashon Avar, he says, Hinei Shavarti oil Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. I have broken the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this was not a statement of the past. It was a statement for the future. But nevertheless, it expresses it in the past tense. We find the very same thing by Avram Avinu. In the Bris Bein Absorim, what does Hashem say to Avram Avinu? He says to him, L'zaracha nosati esoretz hazais. To your children, I have given this land. Or what do you mean he didn't give it yet? So Amirasai, the statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's as if it is done. That's what Chazal say on that pasuk. So what does that mean? When Hashem says it in the past tense, what he's saying is, even though it hasn't happened yet, but I'm saying it to you, and you could put it in, you could take it to the bank. It's as if it's done already. There it's clearly being presented as a fait accompli. That's a nevuah which isn't chayzer. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it in the future, I will make you into a great nation, and he keeps it in the future tense, which is the normal tense for promises, and the normal future tense is, this is what will be, but this is really what could be, so then that's really the language of nevuah, of haftacha, rather than the language of nevuah. So this is the principle which the Maral establishes here, that the real difference between when we say it will change and it won't change is based on the manner of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. If he's saying it as something which is just from him, nothing to do with, you know, promises expressed to a person, so then if it's said as an absolute, then it's to be taken as an absolute. And it will only be said as an absolute if it's l'tayva, because as an absolute, that means it's Hashem's initiative and nothing to do with human, with the human participation. That could only be l'tayva. However, when it's something which is more part of a relationship, it can change. And that's why tzaddikim are always questioning, always doubting themselves, unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it to them as an absolute. And the greatest symptom of an absolute statement, as opposed to just a haftacha, how can you tell, is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it ki'ilu hi asuya, in the past tense, as if it's already a done deal, so then that would be the difference. Okay. Questions, comments? Yeah.
The past tense, I have destroyed him or whatever. It sounds to me like a decision. I've decided that.
That's right. It's fine.
Right. I mean, not that it's happened necessarily, but I've...
100%. Right. It's a final decision. Consider it done. That's right. And by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can say that.
The original question, the premise is that the Eschol Gadol assumes that that means for sure Avraham Avinu's children. That's a little bit of a leap. I mean, because even an Avraham Avinu who left Haran, he had a huge following. One could easily say that I'm going to make you into a great nation means your disciples and all the people who are going to follow you, all the people who are going to become your people. It doesn't necessarily mean that he would actually have children.
It's true. You could perhaps interpret when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ve'ez Chalugay Galo differently. Yeah, then there's no contradiction. However, it's not enough. It's not enough because Hashem then appeared to Avram Avinu when he arrived in Eretz Canaan, and he said, "Lazaracha etenes aretz hazois." Right. In other words, it's just once you see what's going on, Hashem is pretty explicit. You might take a specific phrase and turn it, but Avram Avinu, well before this, has spoken about Hashem has well before this spoken about Avram Avinu having children. So therefore, that would be the difference. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Where would you say that a bris comes in this? Is a bris even less strong than a haftacha?
No, the bris is much stronger.
Does bris stand between a haftacha and a gula?
I'm not used to measuring bris relative to nevuah. I don't think, certainly the way the Maharal formulates it, I don't think we would view a bris as something different. Nevuah, according to the way the Maharal is doing it, versus haftachah, is nevuah is unilateral. Bris, by definition, is bilateral. A bris, by definition, is creating a bond, a covenantal bond between two parties that's fast and firm. The way the Ramban writes is that a bris is what?
In the first generation. But then it becomes something stronger than then it becomes unilateral the second generation.
Well, it's initiated as a relationship between the two. So when it's firm and fast, so then, yeah, it could be that even if somebody is going to be violating, their end, but they do that. They'll do that, but it's I see it in its initiation as something which is so different than what's described as nevuah, which is one side. Yeah, you're right. Down the line, it becomes so firm. So it does have bris, as the Ramban explains. Bris is more than shvuah in terms of how ironclad a commitment it is, right? Bris makes it extremely firm. In that sense, you could try to draw it as parallel to nevuah, but it's working with a whole different kind of a mechanism. It's because of the contract that it's so firm.
Right. That seems like it's much more vulnerable. Because we don't fulfill our terms. Shabbos is the first, right? So when we start, we don't keep Shabbos, so then it's got it right. Kadosh Baruch Hu bound by his end of the first.
Chazal's attitude is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound by his end of the bris. Not that the terms and the conditions are always saying the same. In other words, when we are breaking our end of the bris, so then there's a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it doesn't end the bris. We have an expression that bris avos loy tama. Right? There's such a thing as Tamas Chus Avos, right? The merits of the forefathers can run out, but the bris can never run out. When a bris is an absolute commitment, so then it's an absolute commitment. Now, that doesn't mean that, again, that the compensation, that the reactions are the same consistently throughout all time. When a person is in a bris but is not behaving properly within the bris, so then things change. But bris is loilam.
The bris is problematic because each case that we have, it's really unilateral. Or they're asleep, or it's not like you think of a covenant where you're signing something. What did the avos do?
They always did in bris.
What did they do?
But the bris bein avsarim, Avram Avinu did his things. By the bris mila, Avram Avinu did his bris. There's no bris where it's, as far as I know, there's no bris which is where one party is completely passive in the process. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by Yitzchak and Yaakov was that he took the bris which he had made with Avram Avinu and he applied it. He said, they're the ones who are the heirs to this bris. Right? He didn't make a bris with them.
He confirmed it.
He extended the bris to them.
What we're saying now should makes the bris clearer, because it's saying that if it's something in the future and it's promised, then it's up to for discussion. You know, it might not happen. Whereas in the bris, Hashem is saying this is a promise and it's the future and it doesn't fit the criteria of something that has to come true. But I'm saying it's a bris and it's not like promises and that. It'll never end. So it clarifies how the bris works, because if it wasn't a bris, it would just be a promise.
Correct. Correct. And it would still be subject to those kinds of changes. Okay. Now, that sort of is the conclusion. I'm sure there are elements that I've not brought out properly from what the Maharal has to say here. But that sort of concludes phase one of this discussion, which is trying to explain why it is that Avraham Avinu would be afraid that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to him before wouldn't happen. And the reason is because the promises that are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu include the two parties, and therefore it could be that somebody would be in violation and somebody would lose it. Excuse me. But now, Kasher boy lov mamar Hashem yisborach habinu ashmaim usvar vehemin b'Hashem chosh voloy HaKadosh Baruch Hu litztaka. And when Hashem came to him and said, look at this, look to the heavens and count the stars and see how many they are, and so will be your children. So, and Avraham Avinu believed it, Hashem considered it litztaka. Hashem considered it to be a positive thing. So the question is, now this is this next phase, so he doesn't get into all of the intervening psukim, although he will touch upon them here as he continues along. Some of them, he says, "Al tetama lo yam lama lo yamin b'davar zeh." So Avraham Avinu believed Hashem and accepted Hashem's word for it, and it was considered a very positive thing. The question is, why. And the Ramban writes over here in his Pirush. V'echshevel leitztaka Pirush Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chashav leitztaka uschus Hashem considered it a positive act, a merit, al ha'emuna shehemin bay, on that he trusted him. V'eini Maven writes the Ramban, ma haschus hazais, what's the great merit here? Lama lo yamin ve'lekei iman, v'hu anavi ba'atzmai v'lo yishel v'yichazev. Why wouldn't he believe in Hashem when he himself is the Navi? He knows Hashem is not a man that says things and lies. Umi shehem in lishchet es b'nei ha'yochid ha'o v'shar ha'nisyonis eich lo yamin b'fsura taiva. Avraham Avinu had believed Hashem and followed Hashem's words in far more challenging things. When Hashem asked him to offer his son, Avraham Avinu went ahead with it. So obviously he took Hashem's word pretty seriously. So why, when Hashem promises him something, shouldn't he believe it? Eich lo yamin b'besura taiva. How would it be that he wouldn't believe? That's the question which the Ramban asked. What's the big deal that he wouldn't believe? Right, the Maral supplements the question and says, excuse me. But he supplements it as if he's quoting the Ramban, that Hashem did with him nisim v'niflois. Hashem already done with him many miracles before, bringing him out from the Kivshon Ha'esh and the battle of the four kings. So why wouldn't he believe in this as well? Now the Ramban says something very interesting and relevant to our discussion. V'anachin ve'enai ki yomer Hashem in v'Hashem. V'choshav ki b'tzidkai shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu yitin lei zera al kol panim loy b'tzidkas Avram uvischaray. It says v'yahemin v'Hashem, and he trusted in Hashem. V'yachsheveha loy tzedakah. He uses a lot of pronouns, and he considered it for him as tzedakah. So Rashi's interpretation is that Hashem considered it for him, for Avram, to be a tzedakah, to be a generous, positive act. It was good of Avraham to believe in him. Shkoyach Avraham Avinu for believing in me. Right, where the Ramban says, what's the big deal? If Hashem says it, why should Avraham Avinu not believe, not trust? Says the Ramban, no, you got the pronouns wrong. V'amin b'Hashem, and he trusted in Hashem, v'yachshever, and Avram considered it that it was a tzedakah on behalf of Hashem. Not that Hashem considered it a tzedakah that Avram believed in him, but Avram considered it a tzedakah that Hashem was telling him that this would happen.
He didn't deserve it.
What's the idea exactly? Because of Hashem's charitable nature, he'll give him the children no matter what. Not because Avram, you know, did something to deserve it, just because Hashem says it. Even though originally, when Hashem spoke to him, and this Ramban points out something very beautiful, right? He says, your reward is very great. Your reward is very great. Now, when we speak about reward, we're not talking about charity. Reward, by definition, is something which is deserved. So you can understand that when Hashem originally said to him, your reward is very great, and Avraham Avinu is thinking, but one second, Hashem promised me something before, but I have to think in terms of reward. And maybe what he promised me before, I'm not up to that reward. Right? You're calling these great rewards. I don't consider them great rewards without the reward of children. And if it's reward, maybe I wasn't up to it. We switch now from Hashem saying, I'm going to give you great schar, to Avraham Avinu projecting onto Hashem that Hashem says he's going to give him great tzedakah. That's the way the Ramban translates. That it's vayachshevel loy tzedakah. He says, now, okay, he said, I'm giving you great reward. But then Avraham Avinu said, well, what's going to be with the kids thing? And Hashem gives him a reassurance, he's definitely going to have the children. So Avraham Avinu says, great, I'm definitely going to have the children. That's wonderful of Hashem. I'm not going to call it reward. Because if Hashem says it's definitely going to happen, that means he's going to give it to me whether I end up deserving it or not. Which means that it's tzedakah. It's not reward, it's charitable. And then, therefore, he didn't have to worry. And he says, now, at this point, he didn't have to worry lest sin change things. Even though the earlier prophecies, he thought, was conditional on whether he deserved it or not. Now that Hashem had responded to Avram's fears and said, don't worry, you have nothing to be afraid of, I'm going to give you the children. He knew that it was truth, he knew it was going to be the charitable act of Hashem, and it would never be stopped. Right? And this is a combination of psukim that the Ramban brings, but this is the idea. That of the Ramban's primary answer. Yeah.
Hashem wanted to create the Jewish people as part of a plan for the world, to bring the Torah into the world and so on. Why does that have to be a reward to Abraham? Maybe that's what Hashem wants.
In a chanami.
So they can make him a goy gadol. Maybe that's not a reward. That's just his plan.
Yeah, that's correct.
It goes with the stucker.
No, it's not. It's not stucker either. What you're saying is that it's not stucker either.
He's doing it.
Right.
So if he doesn't deserve it, then it is stucker. He's going to do it no matter what.
Maybe right.
But what
Levitt is suggesting is that what HaKadosh Baruch was doing when he said this was advancing his own agenda. He wasn't being charitable to Avraham Avinu.
Yeah, but the problem is that Hashem is doing something which is ultimately very good. But he's doing it for his own agenda. So it's ultimately good for Avraham Avinu too. I don't think you can separate Hashem's agenda from the good that is imparting it to Avraham.
But he's not going to make him a goy gadol if he's lost his food. So
look at his advantage, right? He feels he lost his foot, not if he came. He's stuck with it. Because that's Hashem's agenda.
I think that Avraham Avinu understands that he's the vehicle for this. Certainly the Ramban sees it that way, because that's where the Ramban interprets the beginning of the Parsha. He says, why should Hashem come to Avraham Avinu and promise him all this reward and everything else? You know, just for listening to him and going this way, he's going to promise him all of these rewards. So the way the Ramban says it is that he knew that Avraham Avinu wanted to advance his wishes, and he was saying, this is what you want. You want to be prominent and a prominent monotheist so you can spread the word and everything else, and here you're being persecuted. Go to Canaan, and there you're going to be successful in doing what you want to do. It's all an expression of a partnership of HaKadosh Baruch with Avraham Avinu, of Avraham Avinu doing what is meant to be done in that sense. But when Hashem says that, yes, I have this agenda, this is what I want to accomplish, and I'm going to do it with you no matter what, that's still a tzedakah. Lucky him. Right? Lots of people have things that they want to advance, you know, positive agendas, which are for them, but that I get to be the one to do it.
And it'll be good for you. It won't be through suffering or whatever.
Yeah, it's gewaldic. It's wonderful.
But we know that it is a reward for our offspring to prosper in the way of Hashem. Look at the midwives. That was a definite promise. Your reward will be that they will build houses. The graciousness to our offspring. We know that happens. We know that it happens.
Yeah. Look, there's plenty of reward and plenty of assured promise that goes along with all of this. But here Avraham Avinu said, according to the Ramban, it's addressing this very point, that now that he was being told that he didn't have to worry, now he said it transfers from the realm of schar, where you would have to worry about constantly being still worthy, or you could forfeit the worthiness, to tzedakah, which is charitable and therefore not conditional upon behavior in the same way. That's the way the Ramban understands the transformation. However, the Maharal Maral explains it a little bit differently, and I think we're going to have to, Mirat Hashem, save it for next time. He explains a little bit differently, and it goes into, this is where he goes back a little bit to the nature of the promise which Hashem made here to Avram when he took him out and showed him the stars, and he said, Koyezarecha. So we'll see, Mirat Hashem, next time a little bit more of what the Maral has to describe.
You shall come this next week, and we have this next week.
Mirat Hashem, I will be selling chametz, and we will be having it. In other words.